Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hour two, Felger and Maz here on an agenda-free getaway day. Again, your calls on whatever you want. Right back to him as promised. Christopher in Medford on the Seas. Go ahead, Christopher.
Hey, how you doing? So, I agree with you that New Orleans is going to want nothing to do with Hayward or Horford for Anthony Davis. But I think that the Celtics should package Kyrie in a deal for maybe Davis and their guard, Jrue Holiday. And I say that for one reason. Besides the Warriors, give me the last team that won a ring with their point guard as their leading scorer, their best player. I feel like in this league, the point guard position is overrated, and Kyrie's becoming a diva. Thanks.
Okay, I'm with you on a lot of those things.
The Warriors with Steph Curry.
He just said that. He said aside from the Warriors. but to me, the Warriors are more than just a point guard. I mean, he's their best, or was their best player. When he was their best player, they were 1-for-1 in the finals. They blew a 3-1 lead in the finals.
Right.
Steph Curry was their best player. Now that Durant's there and is their best player, you know, now they're the all-time team. Not that they weren't great before, but I mean, I'll give you Steph Curry. But I do agree with the general premise that there's a lot of good point guards out there.
Sure.
And there's not many big guys like Anthony Davis.
So look, to me, the whole point, our whole idea is to have both of them. That's what I want. So, you know, to get one, you know, lose one and get the other, like, would you be better off in the long run with Rozier and Dave? Maybe.
Folks, okay, if you want Anthony Davis here, though, I understand that. They're not going to take all your other bit parts. They're going to want Tatum, Kyrie, that Sacramento pick, which is getting worse by the day. They're 9-8.
Or same record as the Celtics, yeah.
8-9 or something, you know. So that Sacramento pick's not, doesn't feel like it's going to be top five.
I'm not sure they really even want Kyrie. He's got 1 year left.
Exactly.
I mean, well, not even one.
And a bad knee. So it's going to be Brown, Tatum, the pick. Like, I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's going to be more than Rozier. And now what looks like damaged goods, Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I'm not blowing it up yet.
Me neither.
People are jumping way too far ahead here. So I want to give Hayward a chance. I didn't love the comment that Mike Gorman made either. The idea that Hayward may never be the same guy physically, that's alarming. But I'm waiting before I decide that. I'm waiting until at least mid-January.
Tom in Newton has a Patriots thought. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
I have a question going off of your conversation yesterday with Greg Bedard about the Patriots, basically how you know, the Patriots had wanted to, or at least, you know, McDaniels and some contingent in there wanted to move away from Brady in this more stationary offense to go with Garoppolo in a more mobile offense. My question is, if, you know, these flamethrower teams like the Saints and the Rams and the Chiefs, you know, where it seems like the Patriots are kind of at the kids' table this year, if that continues and these teams keep blowing by the Patriots with this mobile, high-flying offense, does Kraft relent and say, fine, move on, or is Brady in this thing, you know, to the bitter end and they're all going down with the ship? Thanks.
Oh, my God, Brady better be here to the bitter end. He better be. And you're just going to have to wait to make the transition to a more mobile quarterback-driven offense, and you're just going to have to wait for Brady to be done. And he better not be done for a couple years. That's my opinion.
I mean, they're already all in on Brady.
Better be.
No, they already are.
No, and what I mean is, yeah, and you have to be. After you move, you had the next guy, and you decided to trade him. So Brady can't go anywhere for, I said, 3 years. Here's year one. He's got to give you two more. And then you want to transition to a newfangled offense, that's fine. But Brady's got to stay here. He's got to put in the work again like he once did. And you got to maximize what he's got playing his style because it's still really, really good. That's what has to happen.
I mean, going back, was it the Atlanta Super Bowl when Jonathan Kraft said Tom Brady has a right to decide on his own when he walks away?
That's scary.
Like, that comment, the more that I think about it.
How anti-patriot is that?
Oh, gosh. Like, and I'm not sure that, you know, at the time we made a big deal of it, but I'm not sure we made a big enough deal of it at the time. Looking back on that, how do you say that? So if Brady sucks, he still gets to decide when he goes.
There's no way to run a team.
And this is what I mean. They're so far in on Brady now. What are they going to do? Reverse field and say we're going to get him out of here?
Exactly. You can't.
Independent of Garoppolo. Like, if they're, no. This guy gets to call his own shot. What are you going to do now? Reverse field and change your mind?
To me, he doesn't get to call his own shot. He can't go anywhere. You're going nowhere, Tommy. And start showing up again. That's, if I'm the team, that's how I'm playing it. Corey and Groton, what do you got for us on Gordon Hayward?
So I think Gordon Hayward pretty much should not be starting, but he's not going to be as good as he will, not anytime soon. So I think he should be putting in Marcus Morris in that power forward spot just for till he
comes back, because if not, Hardaway will pick apart the team.
So, if it was strictly on merit, if it was strictly on merit, Gordon Hayward would be getting 11 minutes a night. He's out of the starting lineup again tonight. It's the Knicks, right? So it really doesn't matter what they do in terms of winning the game, but Gordon Hayward's starting on the bench, but the last game he started on the bench and still got 31 minutes. So it's like, really, what's the point? What are you proving there? Those first 7 minutes of the game? Bane's got 7 minutes. So the first 4 minutes of the game or whatever it is until you make that first sub, that's all? And then you go back to what it was? So that's like, to me, just taking someone out of the starting lineup really doesn't mean anything unless his minutes reflect it, the minute total. And so the Hayward thing is problematic. Again, the cut we played before and it got us going on the conversation was Mike Gorman said this morning on Toucher and Rich that Gordon's not the same guy right now. He's learning to play below the rim. But even more noticeable is that Mike Gorman said there's no question that the athleticism that he once had is not going to come back to the level it was, meaning like ever. Like Gordon Hayward's never going to be the player he was in terms of athleticism.
Yeah, I that's the first I've heard that. And if that's what it is, well, then they're stuck because he's not worth the money they're paying him, if that's true.
Scary comment. Scary comment if that's true. Jesse and Newton on the Celts. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, guys. I just wanted your opinion on the Jimmy Butler trade. I thought there was really nothing. I was wondering if you guys would have packaged Jalen and Rozier for Butler.
So Jalen and Rozier for Butler?
Well, that's an interesting idea.
Yes.
Yeah, they could use his attitude.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not the biggest Butler fan, and also on an expiring contract. So, but the way it looks right now, yes.
I was just going to say, expiring contract makes it, you'd have to get a wink and a nod from him that he would re-up.
Well, especially if he and Kyrie are buddies. Like, they're a package deal.
Exactly. Right. And then you get Kyrie long-term. I mean, what does Jaylen Brown project? Is his ceiling higher than Jimmy Butler?
I mean, I think he projects as Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, something comparable.
I mean, we used to think Jaylen Brown's ceiling was Kawhi Leonard. Do we still think he can get to that? To that level?
No.
Be a top five player in the game?
No.
Kawhi Leonard's filthy.
So you've come around on Kawhi. I just wanted
to... He said that game the other night for some reason struck me as, boy, he's a bad man. Like that, and I don't know why it was that game with Toronto that struck me. Maybe it's because he's in the conference now. Well, I have no idea.
So anyway, if Jaylen Brown projects his ceiling is now Jimmy Butler, and Butler's what? He's not too old. 27?
28, I think.
Okay. So now you get that player in your prime, and Terry Rozier has to go anyway. So yeah, hell yeah, I would have done that deal. Hell yeah, I would have done that. Now, again, I don't know what the money is. You can do that on your own time. We continue with your thoughts here on what's an agenda-free getaway day on Felgmaz. Rob Gronkowski and Future. I want to get to that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Gronk, health reasons. I mean, the way I hear it, basically his whether he plays or not on Sunday is his call now. It has been.
It has been?
Mm-hmm. That he traveled to Nashville.
Hold on. You heard that he's been cleared by the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't make it.
See what I just did? I just put that through the processor. I just tightened that take up.
I wouldn't make it that cut and dry.
Well,
I think his healthy is so iffy that the doctors are like, well, you know, Rob, you could play, you could not play. It's sort of your call how you feel that day or towards the end of the week, that sort of thing.
So, but I'm sorry, but the way I put it is, I think the way to have the doctors cleared him, and it's really up to him. I mean, the doctor clear you, he clears you, or they don't, right? Or you're saying it's a little more gray than that?
I think it's more gray.
You
but
do.
You'll make it black and white. I know you will.
Well, so it's somewhere in there where it's now up to him. So he has been okay to play, and he's not playing, or... Like what? So here's the thing on Rob Gronkowski. He's supposed to be back this week. Everyone thinks he's done after the year.
Yep.
I mean, have you noticed this?
Yep.
Like Tommy Kern, Greg Bedard, Zolak, everyone. Like everyone.
It's been almost accepted as fact.
Like really, right? Like it's like become, it's become consensus, prevailing opinion, informed opinion. Everyone thinks this is it.
I mean, it's logical, though.
I mean, of course it makes sense. But all I'm saying is this. If it's true, if this is it, and he's got 1 foot out the door, what can you expect from him before that? I mean, is he just playing out the string? And is he now not playing when he's, you know, banged up? Because why? He's saying to himself, and who could blame him? Well, why am I going to risk being, having a mush head or, not be able to walk?
I'm done in 2 months anyway.
I'm done in 2 months anyway. Why am I going to sacrifice for this? And it doesn't even feel like it's a great year.
Lame duck.
So, like, if he's really done, that's it, he's done. Why wouldn't he handle it like a lame duck? And is he already?
Well, there's only, you have one hope if you're the Patriots. And that's that he'll do it for Brady. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff against the wall. But to me, that's your hope. He'll saddle up for Brady. And he'll say, okay, Tom, this is it. These are our last six games together or whatever it is. And so here we go. Let's make the best of it.
I mean, usually when these guys see the finish line, like, that's it. Like, okay. They stop running before they get to the finish line.
Do you think Gronk's coming back?
Next year?
Yeah.
If I was betting, I would say no. I'd say the odds are against it.
Yeah, I don't know how you could feel like, and I don't mean you are.
I think there's, it's 60-40, 70-30. You know, I think there's, I don't think it's 100% cut and dried, but the commentary seems to indicate that that's it. It's done.
I mean, to me, one of the real second guesses in this thing now is, and you got in Belichick's way when he was going to get a first-round pick for
First him. Round pick for this.
He was going to move this guy, and they said no. You know, again, Gronk threatened retirement. In retrospect.
And so did Brady. So this is why still I understand why.
Okay, in which case, I'm sorry, Mario, I didn't mean to cut you off. In which case, Gronk then owes it to Brady to play it
right
out.
Yeah, he does. And I can understand his perspective, too. He's, with all his back surgeries and the history of back injuries, he's one bad hit away from eating the rest of his meals through a straw for the rest of his life. So what are you going to get out of him? I think it's more of the same. I said on Saturday, I'm done with this guy.
Oh, yeah, so hold on. I'm sorry to stop you before you get on a roll. This is a scorcher.
Not really.
I heard you on Saturday, Murray, say this. You're out on Rob Gronkowski. What do you mean you're out on Rob Gronkowski?
I think as a sports fan, the worst thing you can feel is apathy. And I've reached apathy with Rob Gronkowski. I just don't care anymore. Every week, it's something, it feels like. The guy's missed 35 games in his career. And the tipping point for me was you traveled to Nashville, but you couldn't suit up. Typically, you're left behind. And to hear what Greg Bedard said yesterday, that it's kind of up to Rob by now at this point, like, I'm not surprised to hear that, because it feels like, do you want to play? Are you just going to be mopey about it? Are you hurt? Are you not? They needed him in that last game against Tennessee. That was clear. They had nothing going on offense. And he's there, but you can't suit up. I'm done. He's a luxury and nothing more at this point.
So you're
They've
done
won without him.
Meaning you want them to trade him?
No, Bill was right. I admit it on Saturday. I was wrong on this. Bill was right to want to trade this player.
Let me ask you this question.
And I didn't think so beforehand. It felt like, it had to do with the Palace Q and the bitching going on back and forth between Brady and Belichick. But no, I think Belichick knew. This guy's had too many injuries. He's reached a tipping point. It's over. He's not going to be Gronk anymore. Now he's just Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, I might play. I'm kind of hurt. The back's hurt. I've had all these injuries. I got to worry about my future. I'll go with you guys, but I'm not going to play. Like, I'm done. I don't care about Gronk anymore. I'm sick of worrying about it.
I mean, he's driven me batty over the years here, too. He's been a hard guy to take at times with the, the prima donna act, the whole nine yards. But play it out. What if Gronk wants to come back? Do you want him?
Not at his number.
Okay, so this is the problem. You're going to get into this spiral. So Gronk's going to come back and play for what, $4 million?
So this is the whole idea, that the team now is not going to, never mind give him a sweetener. They're going to say,
you got to cut.
And Rob's going to say, screw you, after, getting raises each of the last couple of years and fighting to get extra. Now he's going to have to take less. He's going to walk, because he's, he was close to walking even before. So that's the whole thing, that's what it's going to come down to. So, I mean, that's where they're at. To me, I mean, is he worth $12, $13, $14 million anymore?
No. He's not. Again, it's just there's a reliability thing there. And when he has been on the field, he hasn't been good. So you say, okay, well, then what is it? So if you're the Patriots, you are totally in bounds there to say to him, you got to restructure your deal.
So there's that. There's the off-field thing. And was Bill right or wrong? And they should have traded him. There's no question about it. But my more immediate concern is, what are you going to get out of him in the next 6 weeks? If he's got 1 foot out the door and he's... Bedard made it sound like, there could be a thing where he's sort of protecting himself. And if that's the way he's going to treat it down the stretch here as a lame duck, he comes back, but, you know, what is he? And what happens the next time he takes a real shot and gets another injury that he could, maybe not play through? How does he handle it? So that's sort of my immediate concern.
Yes, and it should be. It's this guy sort of, you know, straddling it to begin with. I really think there's only one person I feel like a Gronk will make the sacrifice for, and that's the quarterback. Hell, he stood there after we found out about the trade, and he acknowledged the trade and then said, Brady's my quarterback. Right? So Brady's the only guy he'll do it for. Like, I half wonder if they're both going to walk. And I know you feel that Brady owes something to the Crafts.
Brady's not allowed to.
But, you know, to me, the only hope of getting something out of Gronk is that he will saddle up for Brady.
Okay, so there's a Gronkowski thought for you. Back to your phones. Jack in New Hampshire. Hi, Jack.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, you guys said earlier that Patriots have no explosive players, but they do have one that has 4.29 40 speed. And has shown some good route running lately. Why can't they feature Phil Dorsett with their great offensive coordinator? Get him out in space.
I'm with you. Less Gordon, more Dorsett. That would be one little tweak. And I don't know if that's enough because Dorsett's hardly, an all-world kind of player. But a little more Dorsett, a little less Gordon. I definitely think that should be an adjustment coming out of the bye.
I'm with you on this.
100%.
And that was his best attribute when he got drafted by Indianapolis. The guy has speed, and he's proven to be a good route runner, too. I don't know why they've gone away from him in, like, the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Because they were force-feeding Gordon. Something had to give. And what gave was Philip Dorsett. Greg and Quincy on the Celtics. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, I think the individual with the most to prove and who's got to prove himself the most this year in the Celtics is Brad Stevens. I think players are who they are, but if you want to be a great coach, you got to manage the players. You look at the great ones, Popovich, Jackson, Steve Kerr, not great tacticians, but they can get those guys to play together.
Sure. Yep. Tough one. Stevens is in a tough spot, tougher than most coaches who have to deal with NBA superstars. Like, for example, Doc, when he had to deal with all those egos here, and, you know, they obviously hated each other because they're still at each other's throats, the Rondo thing, like that nonsense. So it wasn't like all kumbaya and Ubuntu in there like we were led to believe. But at least a lot of those guys were at the tail end of their careers, and they had to sacrifice or they weren't going to win. They'd already made their money. I mean, Garnett had made like $200 million by that point. Pierce was a max guy. Ray Allen had been on a couple teams, huge cut. So they had all made their money and been stars and MVPs in the case of Garnett. And now the last thing they had left was a ring. So it was either stuff it or you aren't going to get a championship. So that's sort of an easier sell than someone like Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, who haven't reached all-star status yet, haven't gotten their max contracts, haven't become the man. And those things, those individual things, are still as important to that player probably as a championship. I mean, the ethos in that league, the business of that league is your individual brand. Like, that's the most important thing to all those guys.
I mean, the interests run counter to one another.
So Stevens has got it tougher than Doc Rivers did. There's no, in my opinion, no question about it.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is, you know, say what you want about Doc, but he was a former player. So the players could always look at him and say, okay, well, the guy played in the league. You know, he was on a good team, maybe not a great team, but he had a clue. He understood what it was like. And so where does Stevens go? Like, I don't know. I was thinking about this morning. When you look at it and you say the great coaches, a lot of them had massive egos. Phil Jackson had a freaking massive ego. And I like Popovich, but Popovich has a huge ego. And I almost wonder, to deal with the star players in that league, if you have to have a massive ego. So the question is, how does someone like Stevens get it without the players looking at him saying, what the hell have you won? Like, that's a neat trick.
It is.
He's got a hard line to walk there. That's a tough one.
Okay, it's agenda-free getaway day, so I'll allow this call quickly. Rick and Lester on USA Soccer. Yes, Rick.
Hey, guys. I just want to point out the fact that we lost to Trinidad and Tobago in 2017, and it's almost 2019, and we don't have a full-time head coach. And we are United States of America, and, you know, the Icelands have passed us by. We had 2 friendlies against England and Italy recently, and we got our doors blown off. And we have then made 0 progress, and I'm with you, Selger. I'm almost out on the team now.
I mean, I quit after they lost to Trinidad there, but what are they doing? It's a good point. I mean, they need a whole new director. They need a whole new. They need a guy coming and take over the whole thing. What do they do? What are they waiting for?
They are waiting for. I have no idea. They have a new president of football operations, soccer operations, USA, and they're trying to get their money. They're trying to figure it out at the World Cup, but they have no direction, and they have, you know, all these star players. You didn't realize, last point, two star young players that have Mexico and American citizenship just decided to play for the Mexican team.
Ugh.
Is that unbelievable?
No, it's disgusting. Sport had a chance. It did. I'm going to go to my grave believing that. It had a chance. Feels like they blew it. Here's Murray's update, and we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, Gronk has admitted at times that physically, excuse me, but even when he was out there, he was limited to a certain degree or didn't feel like himself. When you watch the tape, is he still influencing defenses in the way that maybe he did prior to?
Prior to what? I mean, I'm not really sure exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, there's plenty of games this year where he gets a lot of double coverage. So, I mean, they don't double him on every play. They don't double anybody on every play. Nobody gets doubled on every play that I've seen. So sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I don't know, you'd have to ask him about that.
And we have another Go Ask Tom, except this one it's Go Ask Gronk. That was, I think, Giardi asking the questions about does Gronkowski still command the attention from defenses that he did prior to? And Bill says, well, prior to what? And the answer is, well, prior to sucking, prior to being hurt, prior to not being the same guy.
Prior to you wanting to trade his ass?
Prior to not being able to get open. I think it's really more about, I think Giardi was talking about prior to.
I was joking.
Yeah, right. His slip and play or whatever, right? And so to me, the Gronkowski thing is a whole issue for the future and how that reflects to Brady. Like, that's one piece to the story. I'm more concerned about the immediate piece. And that is, what can they expect out of the guy if he's got one foot out the door? And what's the sacrifice level? What's the buy-in level when he's, you know, he's got senioritis or springitis? So we'll see. Starting this week, he's supposed to be back this week. He should have a good day. They all should get right this week. They all should.
The Jets.
But we'll see. Derek in Foxborough, how'd you feel about that Monday Night Football game?
Oh, that was a great game. I mean, I think that's where the league is going. You know, I know everyone loves Brady, but I think his style of that short precision passing game is kind of going by the wayside. You watch Mahomes and Goff, and they're just throwing these 50, 60-yard lasers down the field. You know, I think that's where the game's going. And the Patriots should do what the Raiders used to do and just take whoever runs the fastest combine 40 time because you need speed.
Oh, I hate that. The Raiders have been so successful with that.
The Patriots have one of those guys, Cordarrelle Patterson.
I hate that offense. I don't care where the game's going. Give me the short, accurate precision passer any day of the week. And if you happen to back into or you get an offense with huge weapons down the field and a big arm quarterback who can do it, fine, I suppose. But let's see where those teams go too now, because typically speaking, those teams don't go that far either. Greatest show on turf. I mean, those teams historically have a ceiling themselves. I'll take an efficient passing game any day of the week. I have no problem with that.
I mean, to me, the Rams are deceiving. I don't think the Rams, I'm not telling you they don't throw the ball down the field, because they do. But I also think that there were a lot of plays in there. Like, they ran a bunch of those wide receiver screens during that game that were effective. And they had, you know, short crossing routes over the middle that were effective. To me, that feels like a pretty comprehensive offense.
Dean and Shrewsbury, go
Mahomes
ahead,
is a little more of a gunslinger.
No question. Dean, go ahead.
Hi.
Boy, that sure ain't going to work. His comment line said scoring in the NBA is way too high. Do you feel this way? Do we fear what's happening in football is happening in basketball?
Not quite as bad, but the three-point shooting's getting a little out of control, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't like the sort of the whole you know,
everybody stand around the line and chuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. And honestly, I don't like the proliferation of offense really in any sport. Hockey doesn't qualify. But even baseball, the reliance on the home run, it's like everyone's striking for the big play. Nobody wants to work their way down the field anymore, so to speak. Like, that irritates the crap out of me. It takes defense out of it. I find that less enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Maz in that it's too reliant on the three, the whole game. And obviously the Celtics are too. But what do you want to go back to, like the mid-90s Knicks with Pat Riley and guys mugging each other and games ended like, you know, 80 to 79? No thanks.
No, but there's a happy medium, right? There is a happy medium. And the Celtics are ridiculous. Like, you know, part of the reason they're 9-8 is because they sit out by the three-point line and chuck it up all the time. Now, it's getting better. It's not quite as bad as it was earlier in the year. So you got guys going to the basket a little bit more and things like that. But that one game where they tried, how many did they shoot that game? 50? They shoot 53-pointers?
Crazy, right?
I mean, their three-point attempts, last time I checked, had gone up by 25% this year. That's ridiculous. It's too many.
We've got Dan in Connecticut on the Celts. Hi, Dan. Daniel.
Hello?
Yes, Dan, you're on the air. Go quickly, please. Okay, his comment line says he's not sold on Kyrie. In what way, shape, or form, I would ask him?
He's the best player on the team.
He's filthy good.
And the only reason they've been in some of these terrible games that they've played.
Okay, so don't tell me that you're not sold on him as a player. He's spectacular as a player. There are things not to be sold on. Are you not sold on his commitment to the Celtics?
Definitely not sold on him.
I mean, I am. I took him at his word, but a lot of people aren't. They are not sold on his commitment to the Celtics. You cannot be sold on his health. He's only made it through three of his NBA seasons, I think, unscathed. So he's you know, that knee thing. I mean, he's not a durable basketball player. You cannot be sold on that. And you cannot be sold on putting too many chips on one point guard because there's a lot of good point guards out there.
I'm also not sold on his leadership. I'm not.
Well, that's fair.
I don't think that we know that Kyrie is a leader. His ability, I'm sold on that. He's legit.
Okay, here's Cam and Lowell for Maz. He's not going to be happy. Cam, go ahead.
Yeah. So I am sick of you guys saying that we had the next guy for Brady. We didn't necessarily have it. You just said that Kyrie has only made it through a few of his full NBA seasons. Garoppolo has started, you know, two seasons.
Do you want to take this, Maz, or should I?
No, I'll take it.
Go ahead, Cam. Maz is going to ask you a question.
So, Cam, do you think that Bill Belichick wanted Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes, he probably did.
Okay, so what you're saying? So what?
I'm also not told that Brady.
Okay, so what you're saying about us, though? You know, we keep saying Belichick was saying the same thing.
Call Bill,
right?
Call Bill.
I don't have his number, though.
Oh, you know what, Cam? I'm going to put you on hold. Billy's going to get it for you.
It'd probably be busy because he's trying to get in touch with Garoppolo to wish him a happy Thanksgiving. Again, the man was texting him after wins last year. It wasn't his quarterback.
Your frustration with Maz's Garoppolo commentary or our Garoppolo commentary is how Bill felt. So we'll get you the number, and you can call those guys and complain to them.
Yes, I think you might want to try it. Just if I were you, I would take a stab at bill.belichick@patriots.com and see what you get.
See if that comes up?
Yeah. And then if that doesn't work, try BB.
Actually, we're going to have a member of the Patriots organization in the studio here coming up in about 10 minutes. Why don't you bitch to him?
Yeah, what I would do is I'd just put together a bunch of combinations and address them all to, you know, bb@patriots.com, bbelichick@patriots.com, b.belichick@patriots.com, bill@patriots.com, or hotlinda@patriots.com.
More your calls and some high school calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, a couple more high school calls for you coming up here on a getaway agenda-free day for Felger and Maz. Continue with your phone calls here. Right now, though, Harry in Worcester has a Patriots thought for us. Hi, Harry. Harry! Yeah, turn your radio down. I won't hang up on you because it's the holiday season and we're in good moods.
Liam, hang up on you.
Liam in Weymouth. Liam!
Well, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller here.
Good.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on Al Horford. I feel like his production's down this season. He's settling for some shots. I see him, you know, struggling under the rim, not, you know, taking care of some mismatches and passing it out for threes that we're frankly not hitting, and he's not hitting a ton of threes himself.
Okay, thoughts on Al Horford, Maz?
So I thought Horford early in the year was pretty good. Lately, I don't think he has been. And honestly, I don't have a lot of concern on Horford. Because to me, Horford's one of the few guys I think you can look at on this team and say he'll fit in around everybody else. He's not a guy that needs the ball first, so I feel like they'll figure that one out. Now, I would like to see none of them have shot well. I mean, except for Kyrie, right? You really go through the lot of them and I mean, they're just not making shots.
I think his defense leaves a lot to be desired, and that's where he looked old and slow. I mean, he got abused by Rudy Gobert, not just in this last game against Utah, a couple of weeks back on the Friday night game, too. Like, that's where he looks like
an inside and out, Murray. Yeah, yeah.
So right? this is the problem without a fix. If he's getting old, he's getting old. Like, what do you do? There's nothing you do there.
No. And he's, you know, he's got an option at the end of the year. Maybe he opts out, and that's the end of Al Horford.
So, I mean, that's a big term. You know, that's next year. In terms of this year, if this is just what he is in a diminished state, then that is what it is. Harry in Worcester, are you there? Okay, Harry, that's your second chance. You got to turn down your radio and whatnot because there's a delay. What do we got here? How about Billy in Rhode Island with the Patriots thought? Hi, Billy.
How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same.
My comment is, you know, I'm going to get back on the bandwagon with the last few calls about Dorsett. He's not going to be the pill that cures all, but he's definitely got some speed. He knows his roots, and he's a good ball player. I think what they got to do is start coming up with some new plays for these guys. It looks like a dead team to me as far as the routes they run. Number 15, Hogan, he's not in the game. I don't understand it.
Well, he's actually in the game. He's actually getting snaps. He's just not getting the ball. So I don't know. I mean, I like him as a possession receiver, even though I know he's a little bit more vertical. Do you have to run him on so many vertical routes?
No.
Why can't you run him across the middle?
So you could put Dorsett in for him, too. I'd basically have Hogan and Gordon split snaps and then have Dorsett out there with Edelman, Gronk, and White. I mean, to me, that's the way to go.
So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments they come up with. They've had 2 weeks now, all that self-scouting. And
this game's not going to tell us a ton, though.
They have to have something. Well, but you'll see what they worked on. I mean, if Hogan's more involved, or if there's less Gordon down the field,
sure,
or, you know, whatever, you'll see. I think you'll get an indication of what they've been, you know, what they've determined about themselves.
They better get it together this week, because after this, there's no party. The next few are going to be tough.
Tim in Nashua, New Hampshire. Hi, Tim.
Michael and Tony, I have a question for you. Yes, Brady is 41. Yes, he can survive in this league. But can he take the beating that he is taking? I don't see him game after game picking himself up, because he has to have that time in the backfield for the play to develop. And I really don't see the protection holding up in him surviving.
Okay, I got to tell you, I don't think he's taking that bad of a beating. Do you think he's gotten pounded this year?
No, it doesn't strike me that way, no.
No, I thought it was worse last year.
I mean, I can't tell you what years, but I feel there's been other years where he's...
The first couple of months of last season, he got beaten.
He got hit much worse than this. I think for the most part, it's been okay. I don't think he's taking a tremendous beating. I don't think that's the deal. I think last game, he could have taken more of a beating, but he bailed. He bailed on a ton of plays. So I don't think that's what's going on. I don't.
I'm eager to see what he looks like, though, down the stretch, because last year he faded. In the regular season, he faded. And then he started getting 2 weeks off, and he was fine again. But, you know, 1 week at a time, the final month, he wasn't good last year.
Dan in Milton, what do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, do you guys still think that defense wins championships?
No, I never did.
Never did. All right, good. Me neither. Now, the Pats can still win the Super Bowl, I'm saying, because how do you keep those high-flying offenses, like, you know, New Orleans, Kansas City, whoever, off the field?
How do you? A million different ways. Get to your point.
Yeah, you drive down slowly like they've been doing, and they beat the Kansas City, you know. They beat them.
Okay, well, they beat Kansas City in a shootout.
They scored 43.
So, look, you, Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, put Pittsburgh on there if you want. How do you beat those teams? You get home games. Okay, A. B, you let the weather take care of the rest, whether it's here or Kansas City or Pittsburgh. Just by the very nature of those games in mid-January, they become different kind of games. So that's how you get to the Super Bowl. You get home games or you hope the weather intercedes. And then in the Super Bowl, I don't know. Let's reset if you get to the Super Bowl and we'll figure out how to take down the Rams or the Saints in a dome. That's going to be a little bit tougher. But that's how you get to the Super Bowl. You let the weather and hopefully some home field take care of that. Or the natural choking nature of some of these teams. Like Pittsburgh is a perennial playoff choker. Kansas City is a decades-long generational choking team.
So you're going to have to rely on the ineptitude of other teams.
Little bit.
Okay.
It's worked for you so far.
Yeah, not entirely.
Really? I don't know.
No, I said not entirely.
I think entirely.
No, don't take what I had said and twist it around.
I'm not. I'm enhancing it. I'm saying if Pete Carroll doesn't throw the ball on the 1 yard line or Dan Quinn completely loses his mind, you haven't won those Super Bowls. So I think your championships have been partly attributable to the fact that the other team has completely lost their minds.
And how many games did they need that to happen in the postseason?
So
my point is that if you need it to happen every week in the postseason, it's not going to happen.
No, I hear you. But it's happened enough. A couple more calls. This is, again, I can't remember the schools. I don't remember the year. I don't know. It's a high school football game. This is to get you in the mood for your high school games tomorrow or tonight. This is a high school kid who makes a field goal. Listen to this. I'm very excitable for a high school field goal.
Tom O'Neill is set up for a 36-yard field goal attempt. The holder is Ryan Carroll. So be careful. We've seen him with some jets. The wind, the flags right now are still. Snap. There's the kick. It's gone. Oh, my God. The kick is gone. And Marist has won the game 31-28. Pyrotechnics.
I still don't get the pyrotechnics thing.
The holder?
Pyrotechnics.
Who's the holder again? Because it's very important.
He's got jets.
He's got and this is more if Jimmy was here, but a Brother Love, the old WWE manager thing going on there.
Oh, I was going to say Chris.
And it's gone.
Like Chris Farley.
The holder is Ryan Carroll.
Ryan Carroll. That's right, Ryan. I've seen him run. He can fly.
So watch out.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Be careful.
We've seen him with some jets.
We've seen him with some jets. Brother Love loves you. Okay.
So who's holding again? Who's the holder? Be careful.
The holder is Ryan Carroll.
So
be careful.
Uh-huh.
We've seen him with some jets. The wind, the flags right now are still.
Still.
Snap. There's the kick. It's gone. Oh, my God. The kick is gone. And Marist has won the game 31-28. Pyrotechnics.
So the announcer gets a little overmodulated. That's when you get too close to the mic, you talk like this.
It's
being overmodulated. So that leads me to another clip that we play, which is not high school football. It's not even football, but it's overmodulated. And it's a local call, and the voice might be familiar to you.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a bonus track we've been playing the last couple of years because I actually think this is an amazing call. It's just a little overmodulated, and it's someone you know. So go ahead, Billy. What is it?
59 all, 8 seconds to go.
Let's see what the Minutemen
can do. The inbound, Maxwell gets it into Vigiano, pumps it up to Bowers. Bowers to Freeman, gets the 2 points. Rashawn Freeman, here comes UConn. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Shot, they can't get it up. There's no time left.
UMass wins the game. 61-59. This crowd is going nuts. They rush the floor. The Minutemen have won the game. The Minutemen have beat the sixth-ranked team in the nation.
I think our friend Beetle there, it's, as well as swallowing whatever he was swallowing, swallowed the mic on that one.
Holy crap.
He wears that UMass pride on his sleeve.
Oh, boy, does he ever, yeah.
I still think it's a hell of a call.
It is.
It's a good call. Like, I like the call.
Yeah, it's a good call. Beetle did a good job, yeah.
I know what happened. I know I could feel the passion, et cetera, et cetera. But that's overmodulation right there for you.
Oh, big time.
Back in the day. You think Beetle really wanted to be a play-by-play guy versus a shock jock?
No, I think initially, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Do you think he'd still want to do it?
No, I think we got a hold of him. I remember at one point when he was on the show, and I said something like, oh, you know, and he says, I'm not doing this forever. No chance. I mean, you know, I'm going to do play-by-play. I said, oh, all right. Now here he is, raising hell on the midday show, being a complete pain in the ass and negative a-hole. Thanks to you and I.
All right. Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, sunshine.com coming up next. Do we have any ideas on what's going to be the...
Well, yeah, you know, you were talking about overmodulation and, you know, things you can't hear. We've been inundated already with muffled calls that nobody can understand. So, to honor those great listeners on this Thanksgiving Eve, I'm going to do Sunshine Day as every inaudible caller to Felgren.
Oh, this is perfect. All you nimrods who don't talk into the phone properly, who don't hold it like a pizza, who call us on a crappy cell line or a crappy cell phone, and we can't understand what the hell you're saying, you will be singing Sunshine Day.
Oh, I'm going to have fun doing background on this one.
Okay, it's coming your way right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.